Your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. This morning we looked at 2 Corinthians. Tonight I want us to look at 1 Corinthians. And we're going to read two or three passages. Tonight we're not going to confine ourselves to just one passage, but we'll be looking at two or three or four. But as a starting place, I want us to read chapter 6 and verse 12. Chapter 6 and verse 12. And then chapter 10 and verse 23. And I believe that will be enough because that will set the theme, the stage for what I want to discuss with you tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, over in chapter 10 and verse 23 it is, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong to dance? Is it right or wrong to drink? Is it right or wrong to smoke? And it's amazing how many people, especially among younger people, teenagers and such, ask questions like these. Preacher, what do you think about drinking? What do you think about smoking pot? What do you think about smoking, period? Is it right or wrong? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I heard a story some time ago about a fella, and he was asked this question, what do you believe? He says, well, I believe what my pastor believes. Oh, is that right? Well, what does your pastor believe? Well, he believes what I believe. Well, what do you and your pastor believe? Well, we believe alike. Now, that's the kind of response you get from a great many people. I'm afraid that one of the tragedies of Christian living today is that too many of us are riding on the coattails of somebody else's convictions. And since we weren't saved by another's faith, I don't think we ought to live by another's conviction. Why? Why is it we ask these questions? I think one reason is because we want pat answers. And sometimes this is the easy and the lazy way out. And it might be embarrassing when, you know, you can't defend your stand. And so what we're constantly after is some pat answer. Is it right or is it wrong? And what I want to do tonight is to look into the Word of God. And I want us to examine some principles by which the Christian is supposed to live. Now, the Bible is not a rule book, but rather it is a guidebook. There are a lot of things in the Bible that to us may not seem relevant. For instance, when Paul talks about eating meat offered to idols, I'll be honest with you, I can't remember the last time I had that problem. Oh, I don't know. It's been so long since I've worried about whether or not my hamburger was made out of a cow that had been offered to idols. Now, that passage, that problem has absolutely no relevance for us today. But out of that emerges a spiritual principle that is eternally relevant. So what the Bible sets down is not so much rules, but it sets down principles by which we are to live our life. And these principles are eternal principles, and we can discover the rightness or wrongness, I'm convinced, of anything if we apply the principles. Now, some Christians are constantly wanting to know how far they can go. Paul says, all things are lawful, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, when he says all things are lawful, I think what he's saying is this, that my salvation is not dependent upon keeping rules and regulations. There is a liberty in the Christian life. There is a liberty in the Christian life. I'm not saved by what I don't do or by what I do. But while there is a liberty in the Christian life, this liberty is not a license. There is a limitation to what I am free to do. All things are lawful, but yet I am still not free to do whatever I want to do. Why? Because my liberty does not mean a license. It's not so much that I am free to do as I please. Now I am free not to do as I please. Most of my life has been lived under the mastery of as I please. Whatever I wanted to do, whatever my flesh, whatever my desires, whatever a man's lust dictated to him, that's the way we've lived. Salvation doesn't mean now that I'm free to do as I please. It means now I'm free not to do as I please. I now no longer have to listen to the desires of my life, of my body. I have been set free, and I am not to use this liberty as a license. So the Bible is always relevant because it enunciates certain principles. So, I want us to look at these. We don't have a great deal of time tonight, but there are five principles that are found in 1 Corinthians, and I want us to look at these, and I want to reiterate what I've already said, and I want to say it with emphasis. I believe that you can take these five principles, apply them to any situation, and discover the rightness or the wrongness of anything. All right? I think there are five questions you ought to ask. Let's suppose that there is a questionable amusement. Let's suppose there's an activity. Let's suppose there's a philosophy, anything. And you trying to determine, is this right or is it wrong? All right? You stand before that thing and you ask of it five questions. Number one, is it expedient? Is it expedient? The first principle is the test of expediency. Look again at chapter 6. And verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now, he uses the same word in chapter 10, verse 23. We read a moment ago. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Now, what does he mean by expedient? This word expedient has to do with expedition. It has to do with foot travel. The sense of the word behind the word is this idea of foot travel, of traveling, of going on an expedition. And what Paul is saying is this: I'm a pilgrim, I'm traveling, I'm walking through this world. The old song we used to sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," is a very scriptural song. And so as a pilgrim and a sojourner, I'm walking through this world. Now, all things may be lawful, but not all things help me on my way. I think this is the question. Does this thing help me on my way? Or does it hinder my travel? Does this thing help my traveling? Does it make it easier for me to walk? I want to tell you something. Friend, it's one thing to walk, and it's another thing to walk with a 100-pound barbell on your shoulders. Now, there is not a thing in the world wrong with a 100-pound barbell. And I can't see anything wrong with walking around with a 100-pound barbell. But I want to tell you something. I believe it'll slow you down. I believe it will wear you out quicker. I believe it will hinder your progress. And this is what Paul is saying. While all things are lawful, yet not all things help me on my way. And so the first question I have to ask about this is simply, will this thing, will this activity, will this amusement, will it help or will it hinder my walk with Jesus? Does my involvement in this thing make it easier for me to walk in the Spirit? Or does it make it more difficult for me to walk in the Spirit? Does this make it easier for me to walk in holiness? Or does it make it more difficult to walk in holiness? You see, what is lawful and what is best are two different things. And I want to tell you something. The Christian is never bound to seek anything less than the best. Oh, I wish we could understand this. Anything less than the best for a Christian, I believe, is sin. And I don't even think it's fair. You see, I don't even think it's right to say, will this hinder me? I think the question is, will this help me? The question is, all things are lawful, but not all things help me on my way. I want to tell you something. If that does not help you to become a better Christian, you're wasting your time with it, and I believe it's sin. Will this thing help me on my way?
Will it make it easier? Now, I want to be honest with you. There are some things that you can do, friend, that's not going to make it any easier for you to walk in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, it's going to make it harder for you. It's going to make it harder for you to pray. It's going to make it harder for you to love lost souls. It's going to make it harder for you to read your Bible. It's going to make it harder for you to control your thoughts. Is it expedient? Does it help me on my way? You say, well, I don't know if it helps me on my way or not. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know. What am I to do? Well, the Bible has told you what to do about that. Let's just, while we're in the neighborhood, drop by and visit Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Say, you know that's a disturbing definition of sin, isn't it? Anything that is not of faith, what does that mean? Here again, he's using the illustration of eating meat offered with idols. He said there's not a thing eating meat, not a thing wrong with eating meat offered to idols. But if I do it and doubt, if, in other words, if I cannot sit down at that steak with absolute confidence that it's all right, and there's some doubt about it, I've sinned. Why? Because eating meat offered to idols is wrong? No, because I'm eating it in doubt. In other words, I so much want that meat, I'm willing to risk sinning against God. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but who cares? I'm going ahead and eat it anyway. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, I want to tell you something. There'd be a revolution in many of our lives if we gave up every doubtful thing in our life. You have a doubt about it. I think a good rule is this. When in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. Friend, if there is something you have a doubt about, then you ought not to do it. Let me use this illustration. I don't think there's a thing wrong with watching the news on television. But let's suppose you've been brought up to believe there is. You've been brought up in an environment, certain religious background that thinks that television is wrong. Now, let's assume, give me this point, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with watching television. But I may sit there, perfect confidence that God is pleased. But you may sit there, not sure, a doubt. I have not sinned, but you have. So, if you do not know whether this thing is helpful or harmful, then what you're to do? What are you to do? You're to leave it alone until God confirms in your mind whether it is good or whether it is bad. So the first test, the test of expediency, the first question, is it expedient? Will it help me on my way? Oh, listen, you get rid of everything in your life that doesn't help you walk in the Spirit. You see, everything in our life ought to dovetail into this one enterprise, walking in the Spirit, walking in Him, abiding in Him. All right, the second question is this. Will this thing enslave me? Will it enslave me? Let's look at verse 12 in the sixth chapter again. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, the test of enslavement, as I said earlier, salvation makes us free not to sin. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I'll do what I like. And what they're really meaning by that is, I'll go ahead and indulge the bad habit that has me in its power. You see, that reverses redemption. Why did Jesus die? He died to set us free, free from sin. And when I allow myself to be brought under the slavery of anything else, I have, in a sense, reversed redemption. You see, he says in verse 20 of this same chapter that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. We belong to Him. And no man can serve two masters. You can have only one master. You can have only one master. Now, I'm constantly asked, well, what do you think about smoking? I want to tell you something. I rarely ever even mention it. I would simply say this. It's not about smoking. It's about drinking. It's about pot. It's about anything. If there's anything that you just, is your master, you have to have it, you can't do without it, then it's become sin for you. You've been enslaved by it. This is why the Bible makes such a great deal of moderation. Moderation doesn't mean just doing a little bit. Moderation means not being empowered or enslaved by anything. I know some people that are enslaved by television. I have been in danger at times of being enslaved by television. I know some people, they can't live unless they're listening to the radio. They'll go stir crazy. I mean, they'll climb a wall if you turn the radio off. They cannot stand silence. They've got to have that hard rock pounding into their ears all the time. They're enslaved by it. And this is the question. You look at this thing in your hand. Whatever it is, you look at this thing in your life. Is it my master? Or am I its master? Paul says all things are lawful. Not anything wrong with it. I mean, my salvation is not dependent upon it, but I tell you this much. I will not be enslaved by anything. Oh, I wish every Christian, I wish all of us tonight would make that resolution. I resolve not to be enslaved by anything. And when I begin to realize that this activity, this amusement, this sport, this thing, whatever it is beginning to enslave me and master me, I'm going to call it what it is, a sin, and I'm going to turn from it. So this is the second test. The test of enslavement. Will it enslave me? All right. Now, the third question. Will it edify? Does this thing edify? Will it build me up? Now, look over in chapter 10, verse 23. We read the verse a moment ago. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. All things edify not. Now, the word edify means to build up. We get our word edifice from it. It means to build up. All things may be lawful, but not all things build me up. Now, this is closely related to the first test, the test of expediency. But there where the idea was foot travel, here the idea is building a building. And he says, all things do not edify. Let me back up a moment and say this. You know, even the question, is it right or wrong, is irrelevant. Are you listening? Paul says, let not your good be evil spoken of. You see, when a Christian merely asks, is it right or wrong, this shows the immaturity in his spiritual growth. That's not the question, is it right or wrong? The question is, will this build me up? Is it God's will? Is this pleasing to God? Will this build me up? Will this make me a better Christian? Will this make me a better Christian? You see, your right can become wrong. And more people are slain by wrong use of the right thing than the use of the wrong thing. For instance, more people die today as a result of overeating than from poison. Now, there's not anything wrong with eating. Eating is right. But the wrong use of the right thing will kill you. And I honestly believe that there are a lot of Christians that are being killed in their spiritual life because they're doing what's right rather than what is edifying. You say, what do you mean? All right, let me put it this way. I need to, first of all, ask myself, what effect will this have on others? What effect will this have on others? No man is an island. And the Bible says, no man liveth unto himself or dies unto himself. Other people are involved in all that I do. And as a Christian, I have a responsibility to others. Let's go back to Romans chapter 14, verse 10, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Ooh, what a statement. Let us therefore follow after the things wherewith one may edify another. He doesn't simply say follow after that which is right, but he said follow after that which may build up somebody else. Listen, I can stubbornly insist on doing what is right for me, and yet doing what's right may cause somebody else to stumble. He gives an illustration. For meat, here he is, offering to idols again. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. Listen to what he says. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, I want you to look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. He says,
verse 7, here again he's talking about this eating meat offered to idols. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge that it's nothing wrong with eating meat offered to idols. Not every man has that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered to unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat are we the worse. Here the question is not right or wrong. You see? Is it all right for me to do this? That's not the question. Meat doesn't commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, or if we don't eat are we the worse. The question is not right or wrong. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. All right, here's the question. Not only will this thing edify me, will it build me up, but will it build up my brother? Will it build up my brother? Here's a good question. If others knew I was doing this, would it weaken their faith? What effect would this have on others? Would it build them up or would it tear them down? If others found out, would it make them stronger Christians or would it make them weaker Christians? So you see, the question is it right or wrong? A fellow may say, well, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. I'm going to eat it. It's right to eat meat. I'm going to eat it. But a weak Christian, by the way, notice that it's the weak Christian who is offended. I know sometimes they think, you know, they're the stronger ones because they have all these scruples, and they sometimes think they're the stronger ones, but really they're the weak ones. You see, when things offend you, that means you're weak. But anyway, if we get back to it. Paul says, now, you say, well, it's right for me to eat meat, and I'll do as I think is right, and it's all right. I'm not committing any sin. But there is a younger brother there who is weak. He believes it is wrong, and he has great confidence in you, and he sees you doing something, and it causes him to sin against his conscience. What does that mean? It means that he believes something is wrong, but he sees you doing it, so it must be all right. So he goes ahead and does it simply because you did it, not because he believes it's right, therefore he sinned. Let me back that through again. I want to push that through again. I want to make sure you get it. I don't see the light yet in some eyes. Now, while ago we said that whatever's not of faith is sin. In other words, if I do something, all right, let's suppose I think it's wrong to watch the news on television. It's wrong to watch the news on television. But in walks a Christian that I greatly admire. I think, man, he's a strong Christian. He sits down, and to my utter amazement, he watches the news on television. I think to myself, well, Lord, if he does it, it must be all right. And I don't want him to think that I'm, you know, weird or odd. And I mean, he's a good Christian, and he does it, so it must be all right. I sit down and I watch it, but I do not watch it in faith. I do not have the firm conviction that this thing is right before God. I'm simply doing it because this brother is doing it. And what am I doing? I'm wounding my conscience. You see? Now, let me hasten to say that the word offend means to make sin, means to cause someone to sin, to wound their conscience, to bring them, draw them into sinning against their conscience. It does not mean to offend their taste. Now, I know that some people have said, well, I don't like the way you wear your hair. It offends me. Therefore, you ought to wear it differently. No, that's not what the Bible is talking about at all. It doesn't mean that it offends our taste. Doesn't mean it offends our judgment of good taste. There's some people who think, well, I don't think you ought to drive a convertible. It offends me. Therefore, if driving a convertible offends my brother, I'll not drive a convertible while the world stands. No, that's not what it means. It doesn't. My driving a convertible, which I do not, doesn't drag you into sin. It just merely offends your personal opinion. And you may not like the way I wear my hair. You say that offends me. Well, that's your problem. Now, if my wearing my hair long makes you sin
and drags you into sin and makes you wear your hair long when you think you ought not to, that's another matter. All right? Okay. So that's the question. Well, the time is gone. All right. Will it edify? Will it build me up? What effect will it have on others? If others saw me doing it, if others found out I was doing this, would it help or hinder? All right, the third test is this. Will it evangelize? The test of evangelism. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And I don't have time to go into that. It's self-explanatory. If my doing this hinders my witnessing to somebody, if my doing this thing makes it difficult for me to share with them my faith in Jesus Christ, and it's wrong, I will not do anything. I will please all men in that sense so that I may win them, that they may be saved. The test of evangelism. The test of evangelism. I tell you something, friend. It's mighty hard to tell a dirty joke to a fella and then turn around and try to witness to him about your faith in Jesus. Say something else. It's mighty hard to sit around and gossip about somebody and then turn around and talk to them about loving their neighbor. Mm-hmm. I tell you something else. It's very hard to sit around worrying about the economic condition and then try to talk to them about trusting God. Okay? Test of evangelism. All right, the last test, which is really the big one. Will this exalt the Lord? Will this exalt the Lord? Look at again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we read it a moment ago. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His. You are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Let's look again at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, I believe it is. Colossians 3, verse 17. Here's what he says. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The final question. Will this bring glory to God? Will this glorify God? Will this exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, you and I wouldn't sin knowingly if we were looking Jesus in the face. I think the question ought to be, can I ask God's blessings upon this? The major consideration is not, is this right or wrong? But the major consideration is this pleasing to the Lord? Is He pleased if I do this? Will this exalt Him? Will this glorify God? The test of exaltation. All right, the time is gone. Let me just summarize if we have the time. 3-5 questions. Is it expedient? Will it enslave me? Will it edify others? Can I evangelize while doing it? Will it exalt God? The test of expediency. Does this help me or hinder me in my walk? The test of enslavement. Does this master me? Does this thing gain control over me? Will it enslave me? Do I become a slave to having to do this? Will it build me up? Will it build others? What effect would it have on others? Would they be stronger Christians if they saw me doing this, or would it weaken them? Can I witness to somebody while doing this? And can I ask God's blessings upon this? Can I do this in the name of Jesus? Can I give God the glory for this? Is it right or wrong? So you see, is not even the question.